I think it's really silly to try to practice yoga to be good at yoga or to respect yoga. Yoga is not a person. We need to respect ourselves and each other and the planet and whatever, all those things. So I love using yoga just like everything else. You know, you cook so you can eat a nourishing meal. You do yoga so you can connect with yourself and feel better. But I really just saw so much of yoga, just like with anything powerful.
Welcome to the Ambitious Tribe podcast with your chief encourager, Cassie Pajarillo. It's time to drive ambition and build a better business with a plan that's clear, transformative, progressive, and profitable. Now for your host, Cassie Pajarillo.
Hello and welcome to the Ambitious Tribe podcast, the place to be for the driven and ambitious coaches, consultants, and service-driven entrepreneurs, where we get to talk about everything and anything about work-life integration, transformation, and on becoming the best version of yourself. I'm your host, Cassie Pajarillo Braganza, and every week I'll bring you the world's best of the best to share some of their insights, ideas, knowledge, and experiences in solving real-life problems and challenges as we drive ambition, serving love. So it's another day, another Ambitious Tribe podcast, and I'm excited to have you all in here. Today marks really a milestone for me and the podcast. I really need to pinch myself. I actually told our guest for today that I feel really, well, can't believe that it's happening, because the woman in front of me on this Zoom call, I wish it were live, is my very first yoga mentor, calling in 2000, let's not mention when. She's the yoga rebel. She was a Ford model herself, an entrepreneur. She's been mobile and she now has a baby, married, and has been the OG on the YouTube space, sharing yoga love and everything that entails about loving yourself, feeling good and feeling better. So again, guys, pinch me. I still can't believe she's here, but we're here. We're about to talk to each other. Ladies and gentlemen, we both represented Reebok a few years back. And now, well, we're sharing the entire space to talk to you guys about feeling good, feeling better. Tara Stiles. Hi, Tara.
Oh my gosh, you're so sweet. It's been too long. We have to get together and do something fun soon, please.
Oh, please. Yes, we've been trying to have you here. But again, the pandemic and all these, and you had a baby. So yeah, life happens. That's okay.
We'll get back around. I think everybody's going to get back around and we'll appreciate everybody. I mean, I feel like I appreciate everything before, but the hugs are going to be a lot longer.
Definitely. Right. It's so much different. Hopefully the 2022 will make it happen. And besides, you just had a baby. So it's like, how young is she now? 2, 3?
She's 4. So she's, you know, she's on her way, but I still think of her as a baby. I mean, she's little still. So Yeah.
Well, soon enough, she'll be able to do yoga with you, I'm sure. And everything has been already, for sure. Okay, so Tara, there are a couple of people who may or may not have met you yet. I would like to assume that everybody knows you, but just in case, maybe you can tell us something about a story that you maybe not have shared to anyone yet. Who was Tara many milestones ago?
Oh my gosh. So, well, there's many stories. I'm trying to think of a good one. Oh gosh. Yeah. I think with, you know, how we met with yoga and with doing collaborations and things like that,
right.
I was thinking about you this morning and thinking that's always been such a big part of who I am and really how I like to hang out in the world and get together. I remember, I don't think I've shared this story with, you know, anybody besides Mike, or maybe my mom knew it, I guess, because I went home and told her. But in high school, you know, we're from this small town, not much really happens, but my mom let me borrow her car and I could kind of go to the state forest and do things. And I had a job and things like that. So I needed gas money at the time. And this was something that I was responsible. If you were going to go and take the car, you needed to have gas money. So I was working a few jobs, but you know, I didn't have enough gas money to go really anywhere interesting. So we went to, there's this store in America. I don't think that you guys have these like warehouses that are actual stores, but there was a warehouse store, kind of like a Costco. It was called Sam's Club. and we would go and like buy our groceries for the year there, like the canned goods and things like that. So I asked my mom if I could buy this giant box of Blow Pops. And she said, okay, you know, whatever, it's your money, do what you want. So I took them and sold them out of my locker in high school. And it wasn't just to, you know, keep the money and buy stuff for myself, but it was to buy gas for the car. And then the kids that I was friends with, I'd say, okay, let's go and, you know, pick an adventure. And we'd go to the state park or, you know, a national monument and go there for the day and just walk around in the woods and have fun. So I always love this idea of, you know, just figuring out how to do something fun and not letting things stand in your way. And really that kind of spirit of collaboration and, you know, that you can do it mode. And if there's a will, there's a way, and always having that kind of spirit of togetherness for sure. I know we share that for sure. So it made me think of that story.
Yeah. And it's good though, that, you know, having to remember all these things or maybe some of the milestones that we did before in the past, it really grounds us as well that all the hardships aren't that hard at actually. It's just a matter of perspective on how do we tackle it, I guess, or what is the desire that we have, and this desire brings us to the certain destination that we want. In this case with you, you just want to have gas money.
Then I know it's so corny, but it's true.
Right? That's okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. So Tara, you know, you have started yoga it was still early on in YouTube when you started yoga. I mean, I remember every time that I needed a little pick me up, I'm just going to type in a little much of a keyword and then what would Tara do? And you would always have like yoga for heartbreak. What? Yoga for, I mean, you were so good with these kinds of keywords with kind of, I mean, these are the things that maybe it was too early at the time for everybody. But you were already ahead of the game because you were so structured in such a way that you know that yoga is for everyone. I just want to ask you, Tara, I know that when I've heard your story, but for those who may not have heard it before, I know that you started with your family who has always been living clean, or you barely know that it was clean, but it is. But how did you get into this yoga space? And was it really the intention? Did you really wanted to have a business around yoga?
Oh gosh, definitely. I didn't know there was a possibility to have a business around yoga. I mean, I was also super naive when I was learning yoga. So I didn't kind of pick my head up and think, oh, these are examples of people that have done this. Or, you know, there was a few brands, I suppose, back then, but nothing like it is now, of course. But I was always thinking that dance would be my life. And I got lucky with yoga. My ballet teacher brought it into our conservatory. And that was the first moment where what my parents taught me growing up that I kind of rejected, you know, you guys are hippies, but you're not cool. You're kind of nerdy. We're picking up garbage and recycling. And, you know, you're teaching me how to be frugal and not spend money on clothes that I wasn't going to like in a year, even 6 months. My mom would say, well, if you really like that shirt that your friend has, we can make it, you know, that kind of a thing. So I'm like, well, why don't you just buy it for me? It's so much easier. But she was really teaching me to appreciate it. Or if I was going to go and buy it, that I actually wanted it. So kind of understanding patience and the value of things. So when I walked into this room that my dance teacher set up, there was a person, a guy sitting there in the front of the room, and he kind of, I mean, this is so corny, but he radiated all of these things that I learned growing up. And before even learning the movements of yoga, I just thought, oh, I never knew there was this practice that you could do that had all of these ideas of self-respect and respect for each other and the planet and just being a good person, you know, all of the things that we're supposed to be doing that you could do physically and mentally and emotionally. So that was my kind of moment of it all coming together. But yeah, for a job, it really never crossed my mind. But unfortunately, I think for my kind of self-discovery, after I learned, oh my gosh, this is amazing, I had that kind of, why don't my friends do this? And it was literally feeling like somebody was whacking me on my head or pulling me in that direction. I was like, no, I want to dance. I want to, you know, join a dance company, contemporary dance company, just leave me alone, voice, you know, that kind of a thing. So I got kind of pulled in, you know, and again, when I first started sharing, and I even feel this way now, that it was literally, like you said, on YouTube. I wasn't thinking of, you know, making that, you know, I don't even think that you could, there wasn't AdSense or brand collaborations back then. It was just like, okay, my friends back home just broke up with their boyfriend or girlfriend, and they're not going to do yoga. They think just yoga on its own is not for them. You know, they're too embarrassed or whatever. So I literally would say yoga for a breakup, you know, and kind of trick them into doing it. So it literally wasn't like a marketing scheme. It was a marketing scheme for my actual friends. Yes. And I still feel that way. You know, even now, people that I talk to that don't do yoga, they say, oh, I don't want to do that. But then you start asking them questions. Oh yeah, my back hurts. It's like a country song. I have a headache. My dog died. I lost my job. Okay. Like these things are troublesome. They're challenging, but you know, here are some things that you can do to reconnect with yourself, to feel better. And, you know, depending on the person, I wouldn't always say, this is going to help you come out of your thing. You know, people also think that that's weird. So just say, oh, try this out. You'll feel better. And then all of a sudden there's that whole connection going, and then yoga feels like them, which is the whole point, you know? So I still feel the same way for sure.
Yeah. And then, you know, I still remember, even though I don't, okay, self-confessed. I mean, I used to be like super addicted to it, that I watch your videos every freaking day. That made me fall in love with you. Thank you, by the way, for the gift of yoga. And then suddenly I just stopped because for some reason, I can't remember. But every time that I needed to feel good, I always channel back to, okay, I need is to look into Tara. What is she doing now? Oh, she has a 7 days thing. What? Mm-hmm. So I always go back into that yoga is really grounding. It's not an exercise, but rather it's to pull you back into feeling yourself again. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say thank you for that, because you don't teach yoga. You actually bring yoga to us. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a difference between how the others are doing it. Like, some people would say, I know yoga, this is what you do. But with you, it's more of like, okay, let's just take a breather. All right, let's do this. So having said that, I remember you sharing a long time ago that yoga is not just an act, but rather it's also, again, reconnecting with yourself. I would wanted to ask you, when you were able to reconnect with yourself during that day that this guy saw you, brought yoga to you, what was that feeling that sparked joy? And then suddenly you were just doing it every day. Suddenly you created a yoga video. Suddenly all these things were all compounding. What brought you there?
It definitely was a feeling for sure. And I think a lot of people have the same experience, you know, when you feel pulled to go in a different direction or move and start doing things, because it just pulled me to share, because I just felt like this is amazing. And I felt such a sense of, oh, why isn't this everywhere? And I really also felt like at that time, it wasn't everywhere like it is now, but I really like what you said. I never actually heard what I intend to do explained so well that you just explained. I don't teach yoga. I help, you know, it's like, here's yoga, do with it what you want. It's like, that's exactly it. Why did I ever think of that? But that's so true. And I, you know, I think it's really silly to try to practice yoga to be good at yoga or to respect yoga. Yoga is not a person. We need to respect ourselves and each other and the planet and whatever, all those things. So I love using yoga just like everything else. You know, you cook so you can eat a nourishing meal. You do yoga so you can connect with yourself and feel better. But I really just saw so much of yoga, just like with anything powerful, get caught up in worshiping the yoga almost, and, you know, speaking strangely. You know? And yes, I'm going to honor you and blessings. And for me, that just creates, I mean, not for me, that just creates a huge distance between anybody that's thinking with their brain and people that are pretending. I mean, I read The Emperor's New Clothes when I was a kid, and I thought, this is insane. This is such The Emperor's New Clothes, but that's what yoga is. So I never thought, oh, I just need to, you know, tell people about yoga. And I wasn't really looking to change yoga, but I thought this is amazing and it belongs with people. So if I can just share that with my friends back home or whoever, then that's cool. And, you know, I think with anything, you start doing something and people enjoy it, they feel better with it, you're just going to get more opportunities to keep doing it. And I think that's what happened with me. There was never a plan to even start a yoga studio or, you know, make a lot of yoga videos with other people and do things like that. It just started to happen. You know, somebody would bring their friend and say, they feel better too. And then they'd have another friend. And I'm like, okay, I got to keep doing this. So I still feel that way. It's like, okay, I guess people still enjoy, you know, if everybody did yoga in a way that it was delivered to them, I wouldn't need to be doing it. I wouldn't need to be, you know, saying I need a space in this world too. It just wouldn't be necessary. Kind of like if I already had the gas money, I wouldn't need to sell the blow pops. Yeah, exactly. But I feel it's fun. I mean, I definitely feel like I get to be useful, but honestly, the bigger feeling is, why isn't this everywhere? Why isn't this everywhere in a more easy way? So I guess I'll probably have something to do for a little while longer.
Yeah, it has always been in you and you speak eloquently about it. It comes in naturally. It's not like, I learned this from yoga school or from an ashram, whatever. It was just like natural for you. And I'm speaking here, not just as a fan, but in truth, because again, I didn't know who you were before. And I remember too, when you ventured on having Strala Yoga in New York, I remember you sharing it like, oh my gosh, why am I doing this? This is so scary. I'm normal. Why is it going to flop? Is it something that you guys need? I remember you guys, you were sharing about choosing the flooring and that was your first path on entrepreneurship. And I really remember that because at some point in time, I also wanted to open a yoga studio and I was like, Tara did that. I can totally do it too. This white yoga everywhere. But I didn't, you know, pursue because of some reason, maybe it wasn't really my calling, but it's okay because I became a kids yoga teacher. But from there on, I remember you sharing these vulnerabilities. Now, I wanted to ask you because there are some yoga teachers who are so grounded in themselves that this is service, I'm doing it for love and all these, but are not aligned with money and are having a hard time on, you know, pricing themselves. They think that because it's service, it should be for free. Mm-hmm. How did you break that pattern and was able to turn it into a business?
Oh gosh. Well, I think a lot of people are really confused about the word service. Yes. In general, it becomes part of that pretending. I mean, what I learned about not really so much yoga, but you know, when I started learning about Tai Chi and Shiatsu, if you try to fix somebody, but you're not fixing yourself, you're making it worse for that person. So if I'm, you know, of service, I'm actually going around in the world needy. I need food, clothing, and shelter. And if I can't take care of that myself, then I'm a drain on the people around me. I'm asking for help. And I'm also saying that I'm helping at the same time. So it just like, it doesn't make any sense to me just from a, you know, an actual standpoint of the reality of it, you know, and there's plenty of ways to be of service. I think about it comes more easily to me in this normal world. I think it's really important to not pretend. And the moment you start disconnecting yourself from your life and all of these things that yoga does, you just get further and further away from being useful for yourself. And if you're not useful for yourself, you can't be useful for anyone else. So, you know, I didn't expect yoga to be a job for me, first of all. So I had other ways to make money. I was doing lots of gigs and whatever. So I was sharing yoga for free because I didn't need it to support me. Also, in reality, if I charge for something, I better be good at it. It's not okay. There's an expectation. I want it to be able to work and to help that person. So I needed practice. So in my mind, I had no business charging people in the beginning for a really long time. So I just led yoga, even in people's homes, one-on-one for free for a long time. And I remember one person I was teaching yoga to every morning at 6 a.m. I was leaving one day and he handed me like $40 and he's like, you need to get paid for this. And I thought, well, it doesn't really matter because I have other work and I do things. He said, no, I have a Pilates teacher. I have this. And you're doing a great job. So I thought, okay, maybe, you know, I can exchange that. And maybe this is a good sign where if I just stop doing those gigs and start doing this enough where I can sustain myself, then maybe I can keep doing the thing that I'm being more useful with, you know, like I'm doing a gig, you know, a TV commercial, whatever, you know, anybody could get that gig and somebody else probably wants it more than I do. So I've always had that very simple way of looking at it. I mean, even through the years, I started making YouTube videos. I never thought I would make money doing that. And also I used YouTube to meet people in the real life too. Once I started meeting people in the studio and getting to travel and writing books and things like that, well, okay, I can keep doing these videos. Obviously I don't need to charge, but then YouTube became more popular and there's these annoying ads before. So yeah. I said, just take the ads off. You know, we don't need to watch the ads, you know? So in a way you're not giving something for free if you're making somebody watch 85 ads before. So I thought, okay, you know, everything becomes changed in a way. So I have a very simple way of looking at sustaining yourself. You know, there's always a time to give something to somebody for free. And there's always a time to ask somebody for money for that, you know, and there's the right people to do that. You know, I love, like when you were working with Reebok, we weren't doing that for free. You know, Reebok's a giant corporation. So we don't feel bad taking some money. They're offering it. You don't walk in and be like, oh, I don't need any money in a fake accent for this, you know, just give me banana. You know, you say, give me as much money as possible. Yeah, because I can now take this money and feel more secure in myself. And I can be of service for people that need it. I can donate it. I can keep it and, you know, buy groceries forever. I can put it in my savings account, or I can use this as a resource to create something else for somebody who needs it. So I think there's just such a simple way of looking at it that maybe isn't talked about so much, because you get into this idea of yoga and people just, you know, kind of lose their minds a little bit and start acting really strange. And it's really not anybody's fault. It's kind of in the culture of it for sure. I just never really bought into it.
You're right.
Just more suspicious.
But it's true too. I've encountered a lot of, you know, yoga practitioners who would be like so good at it, but they are actually scared to charge from that practice, because for them, again, it's service. And I think it also comes with the money narrative of how they subscribe into that. It's ironic that us yoga, you know, yoga teachers or yoga practitioners, it's so easy for us to invest on our own practice because we want to be good at it. We wanted to, you know, to be very equipped so that when we teach our students, we know what we're doing. However, when it comes to charging, there are some who'll be like, oh, you know, there's a standard rate. I should just oblige to it. But with your case, when you built Strala, it was different as well. You didn't go for, oh yeah, you can just come in for $5, just like what everybody's doing, right? So for you, you had to switch it to, okay, wait, I have to pay for rent. I have to pay for all these things for people and stuff. So I wanted to ask you, how were you able to release that money story, that when you say it's grounding, it doesn't mean you have to lowball yourself as well, or that when it comes to that money story, how did you heal yourself from, oh wait, I have to break a pattern, because you were the yoga rebel. So
yeah, I mean, definitely in the beginning, I don't think it came from the inside so much, but definitely from the outside, a lot of my yoga teacher friends had that kind of fear around money, or, you know, it comes from that insecurity of, am I actually good at this? Or I'm not actually making something. It's invisible. When you teach somebody yoga, you're not giving them a handbag. You know? Yes, it's an invisible product, really. So
tangible,
yeah, it's an experience in a way. And how do you do that? So again, I think it's important to realize, and this is maybe hard for some people, if you go around all day long and you do this thing you love and you're pretty good at it and you don't charge for it, you are a drain on somebody. You are coming home.
You're not helping.
And you're asking your mom for money, you know, you're asking everybody for food. And if you want to go live in an ashram and do that, there's a system for that. There's a closed door structure for that. But most of us are in the world. And yeah, I don't think it's fair to do something and be that drain in a way. So I think it's responsible to kind of, you know, be a grown up about it and not overcharge people, not be a jerk, but say, okay, this is my cost of living. And I think I learned that from my parents, to always keep my actual cost of living manageable for what I'm doing. I'm not going to go and rent an apartment that doesn't make sense for what I'm earning. You know, I don't have that desire to kind of, you know, freak myself out, that way. You know, panic myself.
Let me open house.
Right. And I also don't have that, well, I deserve this outfit, I'm going to go and buy it for myself. I never had those ideas with money. Money was always this resource to pay your bills, yeah, you know, hopefully save a little bit and then have wiggle room. Oh, there's a homeless person. I would love to go give that homeless person $20 right now. But if I didn't charge for yoga ever, I wouldn't be able to help that person. So for me, it's just this super normal reality of exchange. I don't want to be a drain on anybody's life. I want to be independent. I've always wanted to be independent so I can actually help and not, you know, be the one that says,
I need help.
Please yeah, give me a banana. You know what I mean? There's all those ashram stories. If you're a real guru and you go to an ashram and people give donations, I mean, those ashrams are really wealthy institutions.
But reality.
Kind of like a church. Yeah. Yeah. They're getting lots and lots of donations. And maybe that's not all super fair either. But I think that there's a really easy balance once you get over this, you know, ungrounded idea that service means not charging and service is sustainable. You know, I mean, you can look at other things outside of the yoga world for inspiration. Billie Eilish's mom, Maggie, she started a nonprofit where she feeds so many people around America now vegan meals, and she supports vegan restaurants and she buys the food and all of this stuff. But you know, she set it up like a nonprofit. So she's probably taking a little bit of a salary so she can pay her electric bill and pay her workers. So nothing works unless it's sustainable. So especially now that such a thing that's in the minds of our culture is the sustainability of everything. So I think looking at service and charging and money as sustainability instead of service in this disconnected way. You know, if you're not helping yourself, you can't help anybody else. And it's different than being greedy too. You know? It's not about being greedy. It's about not being a drain, I think, for sure.
What I'm getting from you is that when you know where you're going to house your money from the service that you are actually giving, there's justice into it that, okay, of course I have to pay for my bills. I have to also live. If I want to help other people, okay, money is an exchange of energy, not like as if it's be it all. So it's a tool basically, or a resource. So thanks for sharing that. I think it's really important that it will, and that we heard that straight from someone who's an entrepreneur and a yoga practitioner. Just so to remind everyone that there's a possibility for everyone. It's just really a matter of disconnecting from the thought of, okay, service is because I can do it. Okay, let's just do it for free. I mean, how are you going to live your life now, right? So, and I think you're an inspiration for that. You have like your Strala app, you have your studio, you have your books. Oh my gosh, I have a couple of that here at home. So all those things, like how are you be able to sustain all those things if you didn't charge? Right. So, and you're right. It's not about being greedy, but it's really having to know that when you have money, you also get to serve other people with free stuff too. Right. Because you're able. So Tara, I would just like to ask you, with all these changes that's been happening, well, you were first in line in YouTube anyway, you were always been there, but how did you get to here? What were the challenges that you had? If only, of course, you wanted to share any. What were the challenges, the great challenges that you had that made you pivot, that had you struggle, and then you got out of it?
Oh, gosh. I mean, this is interesting. And I think a lot of people that have been doing something for a while and people mm-hmm. continue to enjoy it might also go through this. For me, the beginning, when people kind of look back at from the outside in and say, oh, you started doing this and this and this. And that was never a struggle for me because it was fun and there was no pressure. Nobody cared. But I still feel that same way now, but really nobody expects you to make anything of it. I remember back then, if you were doing something like teaching yoga or giving massage or something, it's because something really wrong was happening. Something didn't work out that you started out to do. You know, you were going into the secondary field where now it's like people want to be, you know, a yoga teacher or, you know, something in the wellness space right off the bat. It doesn't have that stigma anymore. So for me, nobody expected anything about it. So when anything kind of nice happened for me, I was excited and happy and whatever. But I think my first explosive moment that I didn't ask for at all, I mean, you don't ask for any of this stuff, it just kind of happens, was a reporter, actually a bureau chief for the New York Times, came and wrote an article about me. And I literally thought, because she told me that it was going to be a 2-paragraph thing in the back of the paper. She was going around writing about a bunch of different yoga studios at the time. And she had finally gotten around to ours. And I was like, what took you so long? Kind of just joking around with her. But she kept coming back, kept coming back. I had met Deepak Chopra then and Jane Fonda, but I still, like, I was just happy doing my things. And I was like, it was so cool that two people that I admired that were doing things for a really long time, I literally, you know, you can say manifest or whatever, but it just happened.
and you were just there.
Yes. I mean, I got emails to my website. Oh, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? That kind of thing. But what Lizette did for me was amplify that and just in this crazy way where that article came out. Actually, Deepak called me the night before because he has decades more under his life of experience of what happens when certain things happen. I just had no idea. I just thought, oh, cool, I'm going to be in the newspaper. It's the New York Times. That's, you know, my local newspaper. Yes. So I open up the door to my apartment and I was subscribed to the Times. And I look down and it's me on the paper and it's like many pages. And I'm thinking, well, this is cool. You know, everybody that's coming to the studio that morning, we had class that morning, of course, every day, is going to, you know, maybe some people will notice or whatever. So I go to the studio and there's like, this is also in 2010. So it was a very different time in media. Nobody cares anything now what happens unless you get something, unless you do something bad, I suppose, and you're in the news. But at that time, all of a sudden our classes went from, you know, being full and busy to having people standing outside the building with news cameras and stuff like that.
Oh my goodness, you're a star. It was a lovely moment.
Yeah. And, you know, I was always really excited to talk about that. Yeah, this is, you know, an idea I have, but look at this person, look at Ed, who's a fireman who comes, look at Jen, who's from my hometown, who's here. And we found each other. And so the article was about me and Mike, but also all these people that kind of come and hang out, you know, and I would say it's like a sober version of Cheers, you know, that it's kind of how it feels like the Strala community. We're all just hanging around, you know, allowing ourselves to be comfortable in our own lives, but also appreciating the people around us. And that just got really busy overnight. And I think that presented a lot of strangeness because it kind of was, you know, an unearned jump in a way. You know, things were going fine. Like I was doing all this cool stuff. I was super happy. But, you know, who are these people in the studio? Why is the Channel 5 News here? You know, why are, you know, now bloggers coming asking why I don't teach yoga in Sanskrit, kind of picking things apart. And I'm thinking, just get out of here, you know? So that was, it sounds maybe a little bit complaining to talk about it, but I know that's a part of so many people's journey. The beginning is easy, but the kind of when things start to go well, it's harder and it's more challenging. And no one really talks about it because you don't feel like you're complaining about getting attention or, you know, more people knowing about what you're doing, but it's real. It gets harder because what you're doing changes and the way people look at you changes for sure. But you know, you take that and you roll it up a little bit and figure out how to make it through for sure.
Yeah, there is a responsibility when you scale and soon as more eyeballs are on you, there's like, I don't know, there is this also feeling of, wait, am I still saying the right things? Am I doing the right things? Am I doing it justice? Am I stepping on other people's toes? And there are a lot of these questions that may happen from fresh starting over. When you're starting, it's everything is like a fairy tale. Like, woo, I got a yoga studio. Ooh, my first enrollee. Woo, and all these things, those unicorns and rainbows. But how did you overcome the feeling of imposter syndrome?
Gosh, I just feel so much of that pull of there's so much wrong with the way yoga is presented in so many ways. And of course, right now in this moment, other people agree with that, but I felt like I was, you know, really alone. And then Mike joined me when we talked about this in sharing all of the abuses and even just not criminal abuse, but pushing somebody in a pose. I'm like, oh, come on. So I always felt like even if I wasn't exactly amazing at what I was sharing, I always felt like I was offering something useful because I knew that I was never going to intentionally make anybody feel unincluded at a yoga class. So I think also with my dance background, I just know that you get better with time and with practice. And I'm just always up for practice and time. So I teach a class every single day since, you know, forever ago. And also, you know, I was leading people in their homes all the time. So you learn so much from that, you know, as well as studying and learning more about shiatsu and tai chi and things like that. But really, I think, you know, I had that deep desire to change the experience for people or change the misconception that it kind of overrode or still overrides, am I good enough for this? You know, all of those things that a lot of people feel for sure. You're never good enough. You just get better. You know, I feel like that's the thing. And for me, you know, I look now at videos because we have so many years and decades of videos, a decade of videos now, even 5 years ago, I think, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful that I've improved. I've gotten better at what I'm doing, not just what my body can do, but how I'm speaking. Is it clearer? Am I, you know, I would be so embarrassed if I looked back and I was like, oh, I was so much better 5 years ago than I am now. You know, with yoga, you're supposed to get better. It's not like basketball where you peak at 25 and then you can't do anything anymore. So, you know, I think it's just really important to always improve and that's the best you can do. Get better at what you're doing and keep learning about yourself and do that forever. Otherwise stop and do something else.
Yeah, but you know what I love about what you're doing? You have been very authentic in what you do. It's like, whenever I watch your videos, when you guide us, it's like, okay, I just woke up. Okay, let's just do this. Okay, it doesn't have to be a perfect background or whatsoever. You were very authentic in terms of what this is reality. So why should I even like put it all on? Of course, you have those nice spots. But that's, I think that is actually what I love about what you do. Again, it's very authentic. But Tara, did you ever had a moment wherein you just want to quit? It's just like, you know what? I've done it several times. I'm tired. And was there ever a day or a moment that you had that? And how did you pick yourself up?
I got to think about that. Not yet. I feel like if I did, I would be doing something else for sure. But I do, I think thankfully I have Mike too, and we have each other to kind of, we talk about this stuff all the time. And I've made kind of big changes in the things that I do and how I spend my time, which I think has helped me avoid burnout or, you know, kind of be right there and say, well, I don't feel good about this anymore because I'm doing all these things that I don't enjoy anymore. I can change this. I can change that. I can work with these people. And I think with how I not just love to share yoga classes, but for me, and I know you're super similar too, because of collaborations with Reebok and things like that. For me, everything is an opportunity to get in there, connect with somebody, feel better. So, you know, I love sharing this in so many different forms. Yeah, you know, I got to meet this amazing founder of this clean nail care company, Amy. And two summers ago, we met just on FaceTime. And I thought, well, you know, you should be like in every store, like this should be amazing because you're amazing. She loves meditation. She loves yoga. Her business is beautiful, but you know, it started in New York. And I'm thinking if we walk into like CVS or Walmart, it would be so cool to have a clean beauty brand right there. And I'm thinking, well, maybe we could do something together. I'm not, you know, Tyra Banks. I can't wave my magic wand, but I, you know what I mean? We all have our own abilities and our own superpowers. So I thought, you know, one thing that I saw in her nail polish, she names them all by numbers. And she's also like me, such a feeling-based person. So selfishly, I'd love to have a replacement for my favorite nail polish from a toxic company, like the, just the simple one. I'm like, can we do that and call it Ease? And can we do like a bright pink and call it Inspire and a dark purple and call it Create? So we did that. And it really brought a new audience, not just to her. Again, it wasn't like I was serving her like, oh, you should do this thing. But it was great for me because I get this nail polish that I always wanted. Non-toxic brand.
Yeah.
And then also I'm thinking, well, you know, in a collaboration like that, she's a small brand. So she proposed that we would just, you know, share the profits from this. And I'm thinking, well, you're a small brand. This is an extra thing for me. I don't actually need this money. And I feel like you could use it better. So how about I donate my profits back to you? And then with that money, I buy, or the money buys, however you look at it, a bunch of wholesale product, and we donate it to Dress for Success, this cool organization. And she's like, oh, that's so clever and creative. And I'm just thinking, well, this is yoga too. You know, this is kind of interesting in a way. And, you know, I was drawn to her because when you're getting a manicure in her salons, she has these meditations that she puts headphones on people and does. I'm like, well, that's cool. Like, she has such a beautiful intention. And for me, there's so many ways to do what I'm doing besides leading a yoga class. Although I'm such a weirdo for it. I just love to move every day. I need to practice every day myself. Otherwise I don't feel good. So, you know, doing that with people I know is better for, you know, for everybody in that way. So I think I'll just do that probably I can't imagine not doing that also. So that gives me the energy to do the other things. That doesn't burn me out. I always think if people say, you know, if they're teaching a lot of classes and they're burned out, well, change the way you're teaching. Are you trying to fix everybody? Are you explaining? Are you reading a Rumi poem that you don't care about? You know, what are you doing that's burning you out? It's going to be different for everybody. But, you know, if you love it, you can change it in a way so you feel good too.
Are you enjoying and learning a lot? Let me know. Hey, I'm breaking my own episode to invite you for your high-ticket next level masterclass. If you're a coach or a consultant tired of serving one-on-one clients and ready to have that four-hour workday without compromising client results, have the work-life integration you've always wanted, and that multiple six to seven figures by creating, selling, and launching your own group coaching program, well, all you gotta do is join us and save your seat. Register through CassieBajarillo.com. I'm so excited to see you and meet you real soon. Now, let's get back to today's episode. You know, that is so true. It's having to change your perspective in the moment that you switch from, wait, it's not about me. It's about the people that I serve and the people who I collaborated with. It's just, you know, it makes the day beautiful. Well, I start my day as well, like every time when I hop onto my computer, whenever I have a podcast whatsoever, I always say it's a beautiful day to serve today. Like, it's a beautiful day to serve. It's a beautiful day to collaborate. It's a beautiful day to have a community. And it just changes everything from feeling like I have a task list to do to, wait, what are these things going to do with my people? How am I going to help other people too? And that's what I love about you, because every time that in your videos as well, even with your classes in Strala, you were just like, I feel like whenever Tara comes into the studio, it felt like you're a cloud. Like, you were just like, okay, let's go into the mat. And it was just like, I think the energy is so, so important. Having to share a good energy as well, it changes everything as well too. Like, you know, who you hang out with, something kind of like that. So thank you for the work that you do. So how do you actually connect? Well, I think you have already answered this, but I'm going to ask it again anyway. But how are you able to connect your passion to entrepreneurship? And didn't you ever had an idea that, okay, I'm going to open a yoga studio, I'm going to open an app, I'm going to have blah, blah, blah. I mean, were there, are these all strategic, or how did you actually put them all together? Is there such a framework, the tarot way? Is there any magical things that happens in your brain when you put them together?
I mean, there's a lot rattling around. There. Right? I don't know if all of it's good, but I feel like, you know, I love talking about this because I think it's so fun. And I love, you know, years ago, I started getting asked, you know, and I felt completely like I didn't belong there, just to give talks at a lot of kind of entrepreneurship conferences. Or there was this Fortune magazine Most Powerful Women conference, and I got invited to go and lead a little yoga on stage and talk. And I'm like, this is incredible, because it was all women doing these things. And they're all working for or had started companies that look obviously very different than what I do. You know, there's lots of people around, there's meetings where people pick colors of what's going to happen on the website. And I chose not to go that route, for sure, because I felt like if I went this kind of office environment thing, that I would probably get fired like Steve Jobs. Or I would just hate myself and start, you know, doing something else. I'd need to get out in some way. That would be my fear. So, you know, a few years after the New York Times thing, when things continued to go well, that opportunity was presented to kind of, you know, oh, we can come in with our millions and millions of dollars and all of our consultants, and we can make Strala into this thing. And I'm thinking, this is really flattering and really cool, but I just feel like I'm going to get fired. And I also feel like, yeah, the thing that we have going on with Strala isn't like a business that needs a big influx of capital. You know, we're not making a product. We're not, you know, sourcing green juice from wherever and needing to scale that everywhere. It's yoga. You turn your computer on and you're there. So at that point, I mean, maybe I'll change my mind at some point and kind of find a better way. But at that point, I was still kind of figuring myself out. So I thought it would be a mistake to say yes to these very, you know, flattering meetings or whatever. But I feel like for me, I'm just still that blow pop selling out of my locker and then turning it into something fun, you know, and it's, you know, I think about it all the time. So it's not like I have to sit down and spreadsheet my way out of it. If I put anything on paper, it's after a long time. Just, I mean, I think about it all the time. I love it. It's so fun for me. I love thinking this way. I love many different kinds of people. I don't think it doesn't really matter that it's yoga to me. And I know that sounds maybe anti-yoga, but really this is about how can I help people with the thing that I can do. So if it's about a studio, then awesome. I mean, I remember 10 years ago at the studio in New York, I was thinking it would be so cool if you could live stream this class to everybody, because you're in the Philippines and, you know, I've got other friends in Tokyo, and you just start meeting people around the world and they can't come to Broadway and Houston every day in New York. That's such a, you know, that's such a big deal. If you come, that's a big trip, you know, for a lot of people, it's a once in a lifetime thing, or some business travelers. But I started just thinking, oh, it'd be so cool. You know, obviously YouTube was there, but you put up, YouTube is very different. You like make your little video and then you put it up and then you go away. Then you come back next day and you're like, who said what about it? And then that's kind of it, you know, it goes away. So I had this idea to live stream, but you know, I even talked to some bigger companies back then about it. I asked Deepak about it. He said, well, you could, you know, you'd have to basically pay the people who make, you know, live sporting matches to come in, and there'd have to be a big truck outside. You know, if you're going to broadcast something live on television or whatever, you need the equipment. Now you just need your phone.
Press play, record.
Yeah. Or Zoom, or the technology of an app. Yeah. So when, for years, you know, I really prioritized, because I love people, like I had the online stuff. It's sort of like, well, there it is. If you can't come or unable to come or don't want to come, here's all the online stuff. We even started creating trainings for online. You know, this was many years ago. So people were like, oh, you can't. It was like, there was this whole, you can't put yoga online. People are going to hurt themselves. And I'm like, people are going to hurt themselves if you say something dumb online, just like if you say something dumb in person. They're probably going to hurt themselves less if you're not there to push them over in a pose or something. So I thought, well, online is the safest thing. But with trainings, we started putting them online, you know, years ago, where people are like, oh no, but you know, we figured a way to trade videos back and forth after the person would complete the coursework or whatever. And, you know, so kind of just put it away and lots of in-person things. But yeah, when the app technology started to happen, it didn't make any sense for me until the live technology started to happen. Because, you know, if I'm going to ask somebody even to pay a very small amount each month, I want to give them new content in a way where it's better than all of the stuff that I've done on YouTube for 10 years or whatever. So I'm not going to try to trick people into like individuals into giving up their, you know, $19 a month. I'm just not going to do that. So I want to provide more that than I would provide for an in-person experience. So we have class every day, plus they every have day. All the videos. Every day. It's like, there it is. Let's do it. And workshops and all of the things. So yeah, it's, you know, I think about it all the time, but it's sort of like, what can I do that's useful? And if it's not useful, I'm not going to try to do it just to try to trick somebody. You know, I just wouldn't feel good and it would burn me out and, you know, that kind of thing.
And it comes in with integrity and credibility. I think that is your values. Actually, it goes back to your values and your principles. Maybe, you know, some other people would say, oh yeah, okay, it will be on demand, just buy it and, you know, just be there and it's just a recording. But I don't think Tara would be Tara if it doesn't have that component, because you've always been ahead of the game. You've always been, again, you do you. That's actually that what I love about how you do things. You do you. And for you, it's really more of how you teach us. It's also more of like, okay, you don't have a space. Okay, do this. You need like 2x2 space. You're stuck in traffic. Okay, do this. And I'm like, oh, we can do that. Okay. Right. So you're very realistic into that. So thank you for bringing in yoga to us instead of just bringing in yoga just to implement like go do yoga. All right. So having said all those things, do you still worry about anything lately? And also, do you think of yourself as Tara Stiles? And what is your responsibility to that? How do you ground yourself?
I mean, my name sounds like a joke, first of all. I mean, especially now that, you know, I've done things in the world. My friends in high school used to call me Tara Smiles because I was always kind of walking around. Or they call me Smiles, you know? But, or they just call you by your last name. I think there was a character in Scooby-Doo that was Stiles, you know? So there was that. And yeah, I mean, there's a joke with Daisy. She's 4 now. And if she hears somebody calling me my name, she just starts laughing. Cause it's not who you are. You're Mama, you know, like, you're not Tara Stiles. She'll say it. She calls so it my cute. Paperwork name. So yeah, I think it's just my name, I suppose. But I always thought my name was kind of funny in the good way too, because it's like, well, I don't have to change it. It's not something super long and whatever. So yeah, I don't really think about it too much, but I do just try to do what I'm doing and see what happens. You know, there's a local yoga studio here in Illinois and just trying to figure out some way that I can get involved. So we're doing this outdoor yoga classes, even though it's so cold. I'm like, just bundle up. I have a friend in Norway that does that with a group. You just put on your hat and you go and you do it. Like, we'll do it. And that's going to be free because I don't want to take money from people who live here for just a free yoga class outside. It's not a big deal. So we're going to do that once a month and just enjoy. And they don't know who I am. The yoga studio owner, she's like, oh my gosh, you've done all these things. You're so successful. I'm like, just try to forget about it. Let's just do yoga, you know? And then she did, she's like, okay, like I can chill. And I'm like, yeah, like I'm not Angelina Jolie. Like nobody cares about me. When I walk into Walmart, nobody's like, oh my God, you know? It just doesn't matter. And also I feel like if people do recognize me, one lady did recognize me in Walmart. And she's like, oh, I do the yoga videos on YouTube. And she starts talking about herself. So I feel like that's a good, cool thing. You know, if you get recognized and somebody can say how they feel and you just are asking them questions, it's so much better than like, oh yeah, it's like, I'm amazing. Because that's exhausting too. That's going to lead to some sort of burnout. And like, I mean, the real celebrities of the world, they need to hide in their house. You know, they're like, you know, whatever. It's the whole thing, but yeah, nobody cares about me. But with going out doing yoga with people, it's not about, you know, me having done things in the world with more famous people and led big group classes everywhere. Nobody cares. They actually want to have a good experience for themselves. And And I know that I think probably because my parents would like whack me on the back of the head if I started to act like I'm amazing. But I also just know that it doesn't work like that. If I act amazing, people aren't going to feel better. They're going to feel either like I'm being an idiot, which I would be, or that they're less than me, which is what a lot of things happen in the world of that kind of behavior for sure.
Right. And I'm sure when people come to you and recognize you, it's really more of like, oh, you help me connect with myself. So, right. So I think it's a good thing too, that somehow you've created this global, this global awareness there. Maybe that's a better word for that. Global awareness in terms of what is it that you love doing. It's not like you were pretending on, I love yoga. You know me. Woo! I'm an Angelina Jolie. So that's great. So, okay. I'm going to ask you before the last question. I think this is a question that nobody has asked you anymore, but why did you leave the modeling world?
Well, I figured eventually they'd kick me out, you know. I wasn't a big star where they were going to just have me for forever. No. I don't know. For me, that was I started when I was in Chicago dancing, and this amazing agent, Marie Anderson Boyd, who I've stayed friends with, she's a pioneer as well, like standing up for girls' rights and all of these things kind of before it was cool. I remember she took me into her office and she sat me down. There was all these kiddies on the floor and she just talked to me about what I wanted to do with my life. And she said, you know, obviously you're wild. You have all this, you know, excitement and energy inside of you. You love to dance. You can get modeling jobs here if you want, but you know, should I send you to Europe? Should you try to be this high fashion person and whatever? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I just stayed in Chicago and started booking like really commercial work, like Coca-Cola campaigns and stuff like that. And I had this little niche in a way, because I could have gone the high fashion route and maybe like made it or whatever that means. But because I stayed and I was still this kind of wild person, I was able to book these really commercial gigs and save the money. So I remember I got this gig for Coca-Cola. And it was like $5,000. And I'm like, are you sure you're going to give me all that money?
What?
I was like 17 years old.
Exactly,
so I put it in the bank. And then I moved to New York and I called Marie and I said, you know, what do I do? And she's like, well, you know, I can set you up in New York with a few different meetings for, you know, modeling agents and whatever. She said, but you're really, you know, you have a lot of energy. You should probably think about doing something with that, like videos, or I mean, videos weren't a thing back then, but she said acting. And I had too much respect for acting, because coming from the dance background, I know you just don't decide to be a dancer or decide to be an actress. But she hooked me up with on-camera agents, and I kind of found my way into doing TV commercials. I was like, well, I can just be myself and like say things, and that's fine. So for me, it was always fun and exciting and, you know, and random. Like, you don't make money every single day. At least I wasn't. So if I made some money, I would just put it in the bank and save it, so then I could go teach somebody yoga, that kind of a thing. So when the yoga started to take over, I wasn't thinking, okay, I'm just going to stop all of this other things now. But something amazing started to happen, which was I was working for a few different magazines and writing, and they would ask to take pictures of me, not just doing yoga for the yoga ad, because there wasn't really yoga ads back then, but they were starting to interview me and take pictures of me being myself. And I was like, this is amazing. Not just because I could be myself, but I could pick out the clothes, I could do all these things. And then I could share a message about other people could, you know, be themselves, be more comfortable. So I started to honestly get my picture taken and be in commercials and videos so much more, but it completely shifted between, you know, being in an ad for a car commercial as a girl in the car to being Tara Stiles in, you know, a Nissan commercial with Ryan Reynolds, teaching him yoga and, you know, doing like 3 minutes of scripted banter. And I'm like, this is like, I'm perfect for this. like just, this is my world for sure. So I think it's not everybody's world, you know, and by no means do I want to say this is how you should do it too. But for me, everybody is just so specific in what you're good at and what other people agree that you're good at, that I completely just, you know, somehow it all clicked by luck and magic. Yeah. And I got to do these things, and I still get to do these kinds of things, you know, whether it's for an ad for Reebok, you know, that was such a fun,
that was
5 years, yeah, because I got to go around and not just be in the ads and give some input into the clothes and hang around and learn about how that all works, but also get to go around and do yoga classes with people and talk to people and hang around in different countries and get to know different cultures, and all the things that I always wanted as a kid, you know, really came true through that partnership as well. But again, it's a super specific, weird gig, you know, like I got to do all these things that I'm kind of good at, you know, like I'm such
and
a
it's
ham.
Been you.
It's been me, and you're good at too, you know, and then, you know, then I got to meet, you know, my familiars, like, oh, and, you know, in the Philippines, there's you and you're doing Reebok ads and you're doing all of these things. And you're like me, you know, you like to share in this way and you're a ham in front of the camera too. And so I kind of always felt like it's okay to be yourself and you need to be yourself. Just because somebody else is not going that route doesn't mean it's not the right route for you.
Exactly. And it's having to tune into yourself. I think that is the best part here. It's really connecting with the community, and that's actually how things are. And I think that is what yoga is. It's not just like a movement of, oh yeah, do the downward dog, guys. Oh, that will be good for your planking or whoever, your chaturanga, who does the better chaturanga. It's really more of a connection on people, community, energy, and what are the, and actually it also opens possibilities, because when you do yoga, you would figure like things out, or what? I can do that? What? It's more than just a handstand, but it's really more of the capacity of how, what else is possible for you if you do things in repetition. So I think it's also the same with entrepreneurship and how things, you know, is. Okay, so thank you for sharing that. You know, I really wanted to ask you this, but I'm going to go ahead and ask you this. I'm a big fan of Ryan Reynolds, and everybody knows this, like the entire community knows this, like awesome. If it's Ryan Reynolds, tag Cassie, they already know that. How is it like working with Ryan Reynolds? Did you actually have like felt him and all those things?
Okay, so he's literally one of the nicest people I've ever met, especially right. for a super famous person. And you know, I think also a lot of the super famous people that I've got to meet are so nice, and yeah. I feel like that's a big component to success, not being, you know, a pushover, or whatever, just genuinely asking somebody how they're doing. You know, people want to hang around with kind people and you get That's further, true. I think that way. It's a little, you know, a little trick, be kind. But he was super nice. So we did this commercial, it was freezing, you know, so we kind of joked about how cold it is. I think actors must do that. Oh, it's so freezing here, but it was super cold. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. We had to sit inside this Nissan car, and they were doing like exterior shots of the car. And I was like, aren't you kind of like, shouldn't you're famous. Like, shouldn't you have like a stand in for this? So like, I made him laugh a few times. Like, we're just sitting in this car for like an hour where they shoot like the outside and like the side of your face. Like, they could totally have your stand in for this. He's like, oh, you're kind of funny, Tara. You know? So he was really nice. And then the funny thing was, the people from Nissan wanted to come to the studio that night to take a class that I was supposed to lead. And the shoot was going really late. And he's like, he was so kind. He's like, oh, are you going to make your class? Like, what's going on? Are you okay? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not super worried about it. There's someone there to step in if I'm not there, but you know, also they're also here at the same time. So they're going to be able to communicate that I'm here late. But he was really super nice about that. And super funny too. And just like a normal person. And I'm like, yeah, I get why you're a big deal, you know, also very talented at what he does and being himself and his comedy and acting and all of that. But, you know, I just felt like it was okay to be myself, and our little scenes were super fun. You know, I felt like, oh, I can do this too, or just be myself too, which was really, you know, he's awesome. He's everything you would think. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so cool. So when I saw it in 2016, I think I was like, oh, two of them, what, in the same frame? How is this possible? Where is Tara? Why am I not in New York? I would have like nudged you like, Tara, what's happening? But anyway, so thank you so much for this. Now, okay, like going to the real question that I'm going to ask you, because a lot of people, women specifically, get into burnout, the pandemic, all these things, doing everything, wearing 36, 57 hats all at the same time, burnout and stuff. For me, adrenal fatigue. But What advice can you give these people, these old women, in order for them to elevate themselves without burning out or without sacrificing anything? What are your top maybe 3 to 5 advices that they can do now?
Oh gosh, well, I feel like it's super important not to minimize how much, especially women, are doing right now. It's crazy. You
know, it's a lot of hats.
So many things. So, you know, I think it's really unfair to say, well, just change what you're doing or do less or any of those things. Maybe that'll help happen with time or when things change again in the world. But I do think it's important. And this is something you can do all of the time. Of course, if you have your self-care time, really useful if you can carve out, even if it's 5 minutes in the morning or 10 minutes before bed. I know I sound like some sort of terrible broken record, like eat your vitamins. But I have to do that. Like I have to do my yoga with everybody. And in order to not flip out all day long on Mike or Daisy, or like to understand like the things that we need to do to remember, to even look in the calendar, I need that for myself. So I know everybody has a different way of doing your self-care, but I think that's super important. Know what feels great for you, whether it's a morning yoga practice or a walk or something where you're moving yourself is absolutely essential, and find some time to do that literally every day, because, you know, it's so weird too. It creates more time. The feeling of time changes. You feel more expansive and just better. And we all know that we should be doing it. It's really hard to start if you don't have that, because you just feel like crap, and crap is the normal. So that's why I think it's super important to find something that excites you, that feels fun for you. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important. And then another thing that I've learned along the way, more from learning Tai Chi and Shiatsu, is, well, how I do everything can either stress me out or energize me, or just use only the energy that I need. So I started to really see a difference just in myself, how I go down to the ground and pick up the clothes. I can just do that with my arm muscle, you know, and just be like, oh, I'm so tired, and like my back hurts, and you know, then get on the email and be like, oh, I'm mad at you. You know what it sounds so silly, but we all do that. Or I can take the same amount of time and crawl down to the ground, do a little roll around, pick up the dirty laundry, put it in the basket, glide my way to the computer, do a little thing, take a breath. So find ways during all of the other stuff that you're doing, because really even if you have an hour every day, all of the other hours are the ones that are going to make a difference between if you're getting burned out or feeling better. So, you know, how you stand in the kitchen, if you're kind of crunched up like this, you can stand more at ease, and all of these things. You can even be the person in the Zoom meeting. You don't even have to be a meditation teacher that just says, all right, everybody, let's take a breath before we begin. Just do it. You know, I got to teach at a conference in, I guess, earlier this year, and it was a little wellness break, and they had asked me to do a yoga class. I was like, I'd love to do a yoga class in the morning, but like, I know nobody comes.
No,
people come, but even if they're there online, especially online, you're just like, you don't have your camera on. But I love to do something in the middle of the speakers that everybody wants to listen to, and just do like a 3-minute thing. So I did the 3-minute thing, and I fit in, you know, again, like I'm a ham on camera. So the last 30 seconds, and I'm like, so if you're not a yoga teacher or meditation teacher, if you're leading a meeting, you can do this too. You know, there's nothing special about me. I just do this all the time, but you can do it too. You know, it's not going to take my job away if you go and lead this in your meeting. So I just said that at the end, and I got all these emails from people that attended the conference, business people. And they're like, we started doing this in the meeting. Everybody feels better. You know, we lead a morning meditation, and nobody went and took a meditation training. You know, maybe they will later, but you know, these are simple things that we all deserve and we all can do. And I just, it makes such a huge difference. It doesn't matter what I think, it just does. Sorry, I ramble all the time.
No, this is true. I have a client actually. So what we do before we start a meeting, we take 3 deep breaths and then set our intention and what is our agenda to arrive with a solution, or at least arrive with a conclusion. And it really is, it's not that groundbreaking, but it gives us this energy that everybody is in the same page. Like, okay, let's do this. It's not like when you step in there, it's a boardroom of stress. So, but thank you for teaching that to everyone. So those are great. So Tara, how can they find you? I mean, I know it's easy to find you, but what is it in store for you? And how can we support you as well?
Oh, you're so nice. And the easiest way to find me or to practice along is the Strala Yoga app. And it's been a couple of years now. I can't believe it's been a couple of years now, but we're really grateful for the community there and hanging around. So everybody's invited to join in. And if you can't, I mean, another thing just on the topic of balance and things like that is I always try to keep the pricing low and reasonable for individuals. So it's a really low monthly cost. That's why I figure more people can join and then I can still pay my rent. If it's really expensive, you have like five people that can afford it and like you can pay your rent, but you're only helping five people. So that's just my thinking about that. But for anyone that, you know, maybe is a student or caring for a parent or a sick relative, just need some extra help, just email us and we'll make it work. We have plenty of wiggle room and scholarship funds and that kind of stuff. So we just, if you want to be there, we want you there. So come on down.
Is there anything, what is in store for Tara? Is there anything else that you are preparing for? I know you have a podcast now. So
yeah, that's something, again, it kind of happened to me. A company that produces podcasts reached out and I thought, well, I've been thinking about this, like, you know, it's been rattling around up there with all the other stuff for a while, but I'm such a fan of podcasts and the interview format that you do so well that I didn't know that I could bring anything useful or else to that for sure. So I thought, well, it'd be really cool. I love to just talk to people about whatever's going on with them, just like I would ask somebody, oh, hey, how's it going? Whatever, how's your back feeling? So we made this little call-in show so you can literally leave a voice message and each show has a theme, whether it's, you know, synchronicity or healing or wellness or whatever it is. And then I take a caller, which has been super fun and really brings a really interesting perspective to, you know, whatever's going on with a person, you know, instead of just a bunch of, you know, experts like me telling everybody what they should be doing. it's not even for them for me to solve their problem all the time. It's usually just, you know, somebody sharing something that they've done that's helped them or something that they've learned. And I feel like that's a really nice way for me to share. So yeah, it's called Feel Better with Tara Stiles. And we just have a few episodes out now, but it's every week on Wednesday is a new one. So it's been really super fun. And also, you know, I love to chat and be, you know, goofy and hang around. Mm-hmm. So it's a great outlet for me as well. I try to keep it really simple in the yoga classes and not ramble too much. I want to just, you know, not insert too much of my thoughts when somebody's in a downward dog having their own thoughts. let you have your thoughts. So this is a nice place where I can, you know, share my thoughts and feelings and hopes and dreams and hopefully be a little bit useful too.
Is there any super last question? Is there a dream that you have yet to manifest? A great dream that you would want to have?
Okay, this is super corny.
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
But you know, I've been such a fan of Ellen DeGeneres for so long and just to see her helps so many people and how she tears up when she's saving the animals and all this stuff. And she said a couple of years ago, she had a bad back and I'm like, oh man, like I know she's very healthy and takes care of herself and I don't even need to go on her show. Like that's not really the dream, but you know, if it's useful, I just have this idea of hanging out with her and Portia and just taking them through some yoga so they can feel better and not being a person that wants something from them, you know, cause I know, you know, when you're that big time, I feel like that's how I've been able to make friends with a lot of super famous people. I don't want anything from them. I don't need them to do anything for me. And for some reason, that kind of attitude has given me so much, you know, so many people have been so generous to me for that, but I would love to help her because she helps so many. And I know that's super corny and weird to just say out loud, but Ellen DeGeneres, I'm coming for you.
Hey, don't worry. I had Tara Stiles and she's here with me. So
there you go.
manifest things. But I really hope and I will pray and that you get to have that. I'm sure it's not too far reach. You are in the same time zone anyway. So I hope that it will manifest really, really soon and you deserve it. So I guess that's it. Do you have any last words? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, if people are listening to your podcast, then they're really well taken care of. So thanks for having me for sure.
Yeah. Thanks so much again, Tara. Well, again, so what I picked up from this episode is a really, really great insights from Tara Stiles himself. Thank you so much for your generosity, for your love, for the community that you have been nurturing, for being so generous. I'm speaking from the heart because I have been following you. You've helped me immensely in the past up until this day. Like, what would Tara do? So sometimes I just tune into YouTube and Tara is there. And thank you so much for not disappearing. Thank you for doing the work that you have been doing up until this day and for opening up yoga, teaching. No, it's not really teaching, but guiding us, bringing us yoga instead of just teaching it otherwise. So I guess Deepak Chopra was right too when she said that, no, just take me to yoga. And that is actually that. So thank you so much, Tara, for being here. So today's episode just ended. So do drop me a message, everybody. It's the Instagram handle is Cassie Pajarillo. If you guys have any questions whatsoever, you can go ahead and message me or directly message Tara. It's at Tara Stiles as well. And we'd love to feature you. Or if not, you can just go in and call in a question to her directly too. So we have discussed a lot of things today. I hope you guys have enjoyed it and also learned a lot from Tara herself. Again, this is your chief encourager, your host, Cassie Pajarillo Braganza. Drive ambition, serve love, and be awesome. I wish we didn't have to end this episode, but I had to. All good things need to come to its end. But I hope that I get to see you again soon, Tara. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You just finished listening to another episode of the Ambitious Tribe podcast by Cassie Pajarillo. If you liked today's episode, make sure to leave Cassie a review on iTunes and share this podcast with your friends on social media. It's also available on Spotify and Google Podcast. Don't forget to tag Cassie Pajarillo on Instagram or message her straight on LinkedIn. You may also head over to the Ambitious Tribe with a Plan Facebook group and be encouraged by soul-aligned and ambitious humans on the planet. Remember, you can definitely build a better business.